Trumos, Perek Zayin, Mishnah Gimel, 7:3. Hamachel es banav ketanim. If a person feeds truma to his children who are minors, meaning you're talking about here children who are not bar bar mitzvah, and of course the children are not kohanim, so you're feeding them truma and they're not chayv mitzvahs, and maybe they're actually because the pasuk says ve'ish ki yochel kodesh b'shkaga, the pasuk which specifies one who eats truma b'shkaga is referring specifically to an ish, an adult, as opposed to a child. Perhaps that's the drasha here also. There's a different shittas on if it's the generic exemption of children or the specific exemption of this pasuk on children. Either way, the point is these children are not going to be paying keren v'chomesh because they're children. And you aren't going to be paying keren v'chomesh because you weren't doing the eating of the truma. You're simply feeding it to them. So in such a case, you might have to make financial restitution to the Kohen because you took that which wasn't yours, just as if you would have poured that food down the drain or into your goat's mouth or something, and you have to reimburse what you took. But it won't be returning chulin b'sukkan, it won't be paying a chomish and so on, and the children similarly won't pay because they're just children, either, again, the generic exemption for children, or that the pasuk specifically excludes children. Same goes of es avadav, ben gadol and ben katanim. If a person feeds his eved, his servants, his slaves, these are non-Jewish slaves, whether they're grown up, meaning whatever, older or katanim, or their children, it doesn't matter. In both cases, again, he who fed his slaves will have to reimburse the Kohen for taking that which wasn't his, but the slaves won't be making any restitution to the Kohen, even though they're forbidden to eating this truma, because they're not the slaves owned by a Kohen. The reason, however, here is very different. Here it's simply a matter of, when it comes to a normal Eved, an Eved Kanani, a non-Jewish slave, so they have no hand of their own, so to speak, with which to own financial assets or any assets. So that being the case, there's no way for, under normal circumstances, for an Eved to have money, and therefore he couldn't pay back because he's penniless, as that's the normal setup. of course, if that Eved would ever be freed, so then if he wants to get the Kapari, he'll be required now to give keren v'chomesh. And similarly, if one engineered, he contrived a strange case where a person was a benefactor to a Eved Kanani, a non-Jewish slave, and he gave the money with the right halachic stipulations, which said that this money should not become the property of the owner of the slave, rather be the slave's property with which he could pay back the keren v'chomesh. So in such a case, then the slave would be able to have money and in fact would be required to purchase chulin and repay back keren v'chomesh to get a kapara for having eaten truma b'shkaga. The Mishnah continues on with more cases where there won't be keren v'chomesh. Here the case is ha'ochel trumas chutz la'aretz. If one eats truma that came from chutz la'aretz, meaning outside of Eretz Yisrael, we said previously that produce that grows outside of Eretz Yisrael, meaning in Syria, in Ammon or Moab, in Mitzrayim, and in Bavel, there's a rabbinic requirement to separate truma there. However, if one did eat such truma, b'shkaga, he wouldn't add the keren v'chomesh. That is to say, that there is no, within the framework with which the rabbis required taking truma in chutz la'aretz, they did not require the keren v'chomesh surcharge in the event the one inadvertently ate such truma. That's not to say that truma midrabanan in general is exempt from keren v'chomesh. In fact, it's very possible that, as I said before, in the time of the Mishnah, all trumas is only derabanan because the majority of the Jews were not in Eretz Yisrael in the time of the Mishnah. They had been exiled already 500 years previous, and they hadn't really come back in the majority. And it may well be, according to many shittas, including probably halacha lemaisa, even in the time of the Mishnah, there's no mitzvah d'oraisa to take truma, it's just d'rabbanan, and yet, of course, the Mishnayos are speaking about giving keren v'chomesh because the rabbis didn't, when they required the rabbinically to give truma, they did not relax the obligations of keren v'chomesh in the case of eating b'shkaga, but they didn't set up such an obligation when it came to truma that came from chutz la'aretz. Finally, va'ochel pachos mekazayas truma. The fourth case is if one eats less than one kazayas of truma. So here, he is doing the eating, and normally said if one eats truma b'shogeg, he has to give back keren v'chomesh. However, that requires he eats it. Now, normally we said other cases where he feeds it someone else or he wastes it, etc. Here he actually is putting it down his throat. The thing is that for something to be a legal ma'asa achila, a legal act of eating, it has to conform to a number of requirements. What he's eating has to be fit for human consumption, which let's assume it is here. We're talking about truma food. But it also has to be eaten a requisite quantity of food. And that requisite quantity is a kazayas, the volume of an olive. Think of a small matchbox, like a matchbox size, that kind of thing is a kazayas. So if the volume of food he consumed was less than a kazayas, even though he ate it through his mouth, it's not a legal act of eating. And that being the case, he won't have to give keren v'chomesh. Of course, if he ate, you know, whatever it is, 5 cents worth of fig cake, that's truma fig cake, but less than a kazayas, he'll have to give back those 5 cents that he took from the, you know, value that he took from the kohen, but no chomesh needs to be added to that because he didn't do a legal act of eating. It's the same as if one would, you know, eat less than a kazayas of bacon. So then there's no lashes for that, no malchus for that, because it's not a legal act of eating. And although we do paskin, by the way, that a chatzi shir is aser medoraisa, we do paskin that, so it's forbidden to eat a half a kazayas of bacon, but one would not incur lashes for that act because it's not a legal act of eating. Same goes, by the way, just let me speak it out for a second, that a legal act of eating requires not just that it's in the requisite volume, meaning kazayas for solids and revius for liquid, but also that it's done within the amount of time that makes it a single act of eating, which Chazal said at Bechdei Achilas Pras, the amount of time it takes to eat, like a half of a loaf of bread, which works out to being somewhere between 2 and 9 minutes, depending on the shitas. But certainly if one ate a kazayas over the course of 10 minutes, he would not have done an act of eating and wouldn't be liable for keren v'chomesh. He would just have to repay what he consumed. This is just to illustrate the point a little further. It's the same if, for argument's sake, he took some truma grape juice and put a feeding tube straight into his stomach or an IV into his blood or something. In all those cases, it's not called an act of eating. And if he did that, so he somehow managed to get the, you know, the truma into his belly direct, he would not be chayav to pay keren v'chomesh because that's not considered to be an act of eating. Okay, in all those cases that we just set up to now, the feeding of one's children, his non-Jewish slave, his eating truma from chutz la'aretz, or his eating less than a kazayas, the din is mishalem es a keren. One must repay the principal which he took that belongs to a kohen, of course, just as if he stole his bike or something, or broke his bike or whatever. Veinu mishalem es a chomesh. He need not, however, pay the chomesh. V'tashlumin chulin. If he, the guy who did the feeding to the children, let's say, or the slaves, etc., if he reimburses the kohen with chulin foodstuff, so in other words, I fed my child a cup of truma wine, now I'm going to repay you by giving you back your cup, a new cup of chulin wine. The chulin wine that I give you remains chulin. It doesn't become truma, even though it's to reimburse for truma, because that's only applicable when you're paying the keren v'chomesh. And therefore, since it's just a financial restitution and not actually, you know, a returning of chulin into truma, so then imratza kohen limchol, if the kohen who was incurred the loss of originally was his truma, that kohen can be mochel, meaning he can say, I don't want your money, I don't want your wine, I'm not interested in that, and that's sufficient. Meaning, as opposed to, as you said previously, if a person, bishgaga, inadvertently ate another kohen's truma fig, so then he will be obligated to return a chulin fig plus an extra chomesh worth of fig, and the kohen can't decline that. The reason why is because he needs to get his kapara, and the Torah is obligated to give keren v'chomesh regardless of whether or not the kohen wants to be reimbursed. But here it's just a financial restitution, meaning, in fact, the person who ate the kohen's truma fig who fed it to his child, etc., actually could just write the kohen a check. No need to give an actual fig. It's just a matter of financial restitution. So, in that being the case, the kohen is at liberty to say, I don't want your money or your restitution, and just decline it. Just the same way he could decline a check if you broke his or stole his bike, etc. And that being the case, imratza kohen limchol, if the kohen wants to be mochel and forgive the debt that you owe him for taking that which was his, mochel, he is allowed to do so.